Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang for this, the final episode of season four. It's been a crazy season, and we are very late to get this
almost
out.
Almost like it's the first episode of season five, almost.
Almost. We're probably closer to that than we are to the last episode we released of season four. There are good reasons for that. I did have a knee surgery and was recovering from that for a while, and doing a podcast was not on my priority list. However,
crazy how your priorities change when you go through a massive surgery that affects your mobility for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'll be healed in 6 months, but for the rest of my life, just for the dramatics, yes.
Yeah.
But we're back. We're so out of
we're out of practice.
Out of practice.
We're out of touch.
Forgot.
Out of ideas.
Forgot.
Out of money.
Forgot my mic. Yeah. forgot the SD card. We just want to get this out so we can get season five started in about a month.
Yeah, we got to start painting a shed. Just kidding. Yes. I won't make you paint a shed.
I can paint the shed. Okay. I can stand. I'll be out of this brace in like 3 weeks. So
not even.
But anyway, regardless, we're back. This is the last episode of season four. We've got predictions that we made at the beginning of season four that we must round out and wrap up for you lovely people, because I know you're dying to hear.
Yeah.
How horrible our predictions were.
Beat the shit out of past Ben.
Yes. All right. So let's get into IndyCar first, and we'll go through Formula One afterwards. We will go through these results for the season since we haven't in a long time. Alex Palou was our champion, followed by Pato Award and Scott Dixon. Fourth and fifth were Kirkwood and Lundgaard. 6-10 were Herta, Rosenqvist, Armstrong, Power, and McLaughlin. 11-15 were Malukas, Newgarden, and Rasmussen, VK, and Rossi. 16-20 were Ferrucci, Simpson, Daly, Rahal, and Ericsson. 21-25 were Ilott, Siegel, Foster, Schwartzman, and Stingray Robb. You have to say the whole name. You just have to.
Sure.
Yes.
You can.
26-30 were DeFrancesco, Abel, Sato, Castroneves, and Carpenter. 31-34 running out the finishers were Jack Harvey, Ryan Hunter-Reay, Kyle Larson, and Marco Andretti, the Indy 500 only racers. Of course, I think that started with Takuma Sato. So
yeah.
All right, our predictions for the IndyCar season. Boy, we were both. Anyway,
we had some interesting picks.
Yes,
needless to say.
First off, total different race winners. This is hilarious. What did you say, Ben?
I said 8.
I said 6. Guess how many people won? Yeah. Different people won.
7. It's the law of averages. It's real.
Yep. Yeah, wait till you get to the next one. Total DNFs.
Oh, my gosh.
What did you say, Ben?
I said 60.
I said 84. Guess how many it was? 72.
The average.
The average.
Together, you and I have so many brain cells.
Yes, if we just combined, we would be so right.
Except for this next segment.
Yeah. Driver with the most DNFs in the season. What did you say, Ben?
I had Stingray Robb.
I had Robert Schwartzman. I think both
pretty good should guesses. Have been shoe-ins.
Yes. In fact, it was a four-way tie between Joseph Newgarden and Will Power, Nolan Siegel, and Jacob Abel.
Newgarden and Power.
Five DNFs.
Five DNFs.
Newgarden, I would have guessed, because he had a horrible season. But I don't remember Will Power.
Season, though?
I mean, the start of the season wasn't bad, but, like, the middle of the season, he was just, like, not finishing races.
Yeah.
But I don't remember where Will Power DNF'd 5 times.
Yeah.
Driver with the most pole positions, what did you say, Ben?
I had Colton Herta.
Like, the opium was real. I had Scott McLaughlin. Did not happen.
Yeah.
Most
we should
positions.
Have known.
Yes.
It would have been Alex Palou.
Alex Palou by a country mile with 6 pole positions.
That's F1 consistency that you're seeing.
Most consistent driver, what did you say, Ben?
I had Scott Dixon for this.
Very good guess. I had Callum Ilott, who I thought would be consistently at the back, but he actually did not do terrible.
You tried to play the system, and the system played you.
Yep. The most consistent driver was actually Devlin DeFrancesco, with a standard deviation on his finishes of just 3.53.
What was his average finishing place?
It was like 17th or something.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't good, but he was always in 17th, so... yeah, very, very consistent from him. Consistently not great. Least consistent driver, what did you say, Ben?
I had Nolan Siegel for this.
And I had Alex Rossi. In fact, it went to, by a country mile, Scott McLaughlin.
Probably the worst season for Penske in recent memory.
Yeah, McLaughlin was wild if you look at his different finishes. He's like second place, last, DNF, second yeah, place.
That's the hard part about having great drivers who are just the strategies and the team culture and the cheating sometimes just really, really wears you down.
Yep.
Really hurts your consistency.
Driver with the most wins, what'd you say?
I was really on the Herta train. I thought he was going to come back and win it all after a bad last season, but no, he had another bad last season.
I had Pato O'Ward, and it went to, of course, Alex Palou, and he won 8 races in the season. And then, of course, the champion, what did you say, Ben?
You're going to love this. I said Colton Herta.
Yes. I said Alex Palou because I know motorsports.
You're no fool.
I'm no fool. And it was Alex Palou, of course. Moving into the data, if we wanted to dive a little deeper, let's look at some interesting data points. Let's see. So, I'm going to say... That's not right. Unless it is right. Oh my gosh, Ben, I am so sorry. After adjusting the data and fixing it.
What?
You were actually correct. Scott Dixon was the most consistent driver.
Yes!
I thought... What? How did this happen? I am so confusion. I don't know how I managed to screw this up so bad. But
what was the standard deviation?
Dave Francesco's was 5.1, I believe. Yep. Dave Francesco was 5.1. Scott Dixon was 5.01.
Wow.
So, Ben actually gets this one right.
Yes. That feels good, actually. That makes me feel a lot better about not actually getting anything right in this entire table. At least I got one. And you got one.
I can't really change the whole thing in this version, but you know what? The name is green.
That's limitation of Google Sheets.
Yes. So, good job, Ben.
Good job to you. Overall champion pick.
Yes. Let me make sure the least consistent driver is true right now. Yes, it is still McLaughlin.
He had so much margin to play with.
Yeah.
Also,
Will Power and Newgarden were the next two. It was all the Penske boys.
Penske just. That really solidifies how awful their season was this year.
They were all three of them were the three least consistent.
They had
drivers.
Worse consistency than Kirkwood.
Yes.
Who is the fastest Andretti driver while still driving for Andretti.
Yeah. That's pretty wild. Yeah, Palou, who won almost every race, came in 5th, actually. Yeah. So, back to it. Formula One results. Lando Norris won the Drivers' Championship, followed by Max Verstappen and Oscar Piastri. 4th and 5th were Russell and Leclerc. 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Antonelli, Albon, Sainz, and Alonso. 11 through 15 were Hülkenberg, Hadjar, Behrman, Lawson, and Ocon. 16 through 20 were Stroll, Tsunoda, Gasly, Bortoleto, and Colapinto. And in 21st place, out of 20 drivers, was Jack Doohan.
Man, thank goodness Fernando Alonso pulled it together and is able to outscore Lance Stroll by the end of the season. That would have been
tragic.
Miserable.
Teams, the Constructors' Championship, McLaren won very comfortably, followed by Mercedes in P2 and Red Bull in P3. Ferrari in 4th, Williams in 5th, 6 through 10 were Racing Bulls, Aston Martin, Haas, Sauber, and Alpine. It shocks me that Haas was in 8th, because I feel like they had
a really good season. But then you remember that Ocon was driving for them also. It wasn't just two Behrmans.
Yeah, it wasn't
if it
two
was two Oliver Behrmans.
They would have been like P5.
Yeah, they would have maybe beaten Aston Martin.
I would have said, yeah, probably... They would have been competing with Racing Bulls, I think, for P6 if they had two Behrmans. Ocon scored 38 points to Behrman's 41. Like, it wasn't that far apart, actually.
Yeah, but Oliver Behrman's been in sport for a year now, and Ocon's been racing since Renault was Renault.
Yeah. And we're back. Minor semi-technical difficulty.
There was a helicopter going overhead, and we
That's
had to
right.
look.
F-35 flew over us. Yep. Crazy stuff. Regardless, what were we talking about, Ben? You were talking about some interesting finishing stuff.
Yeah.
Williams.
Did you notice any interesting or surprising results from this season?
Other than Williams finishing like 40 points ahead of P6,
You expect that Kicksauber would finish with over three times the points of Alpine?
No, I did not expect that. I figured Alpine would probably be ninth. I thought Sauber would be 10th by a long way. I thought it'd be probably reversed from that.
But yeah. Hülkenberg really had a crazy year this year.
He really did, yeah. He got his first podium.
Finally.
Great stuff for him. I'm very happy for him, yes. All right. Going through our predictions for Formula One. Ben, give me we'll go through the constructors. Well, we already did. So if you want to know the order, go back and listen. We'll tell you which ones we got Simply right and which ones we got wrong.
Yeah.
So, Ben, tell me your predictions for the order of the Constructors' Championship.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, Nathan. I had Ferrari coming in first.
Oof.
I don't know why. I had Ferrari, Red Bull in second, McLaren in third, Mercedes in fourth, Williams in fifth, Haas in sixth, Aston Martin in seventh, RB in eighth, Alpine in ninth, and Sauber in tenth. Out of all those, I got Williams in fifth and Aston Martin in seventh. I did not expect to hit Aston Martin on that one, but here we are.
I had McLaren winning it all, so I got that correct, followed by Ferrari, Mercedes, and Red Bull. Then I had Williams in fifth, Aston Martin in sixth, Haas in seventh, RB in eighth, Alpine in ninth, and Sauber in last. So I got McLaren and Williams correct, and then
the takeaway is we both vastly overestimated Haas.
Yes.
And vastly underestimated Sauber.
Yeah. Overestimated Ferrari.
And I really underestimated McLaren.
Yeah. Where did you have them? Third? Yeah.
I'm third. Yeah.
Drivers' Championship. What did you have, Ben?
I had, Verstappen, Norris, Leclerc, Hamilton, Russell, Piastri, Lawson, Antonelli, Sainz, and Albon is my top 10. And then I had Alonso, Ocon, Tsunoda, Gasly, Bearman, Stroll, Hülkenberg, Doohan, Hadjar, and Bortoleto as my bottom 20. Notice we made these at the start, so we had Doohan and didn't even consider the fact that Cole Pinto would rapidly replace the poor boy.
Yes. I had Norris, Leclerc, Verstappen, 4th and 5th, Piastri, Hamilton, 6 through 10, Russell, Sainz, Antonelli, Lawson, and Albon. 11 through 15, Alonso, Stroll, Ocon, Tsunoda, and Gasly. 16 through 20, Behrman, Hülkenberg, Hadjar, Doohan, and Bortoleto. So I only got Lando Norris correct. You beat me on that one, Ben.
Hey, you got the Drivers' Championship, though.
I did. I did get the Drivers' Championship.
Number one driver.
Yes.
I got Sainz and Stroll.
There you go.
Somehow, for some reason.
For some reason.
I had Antonelli really low, and Lawson really high. Because he was at Red Bull.
Yep. We both had Lawson in the top 10, and that did not happen.
What else? I had Piastri pretty low. You're much closer on Piastri than I was.
Yep.
And then I had Hamilton pretty high. Well, not that much higher up than he placed. A little high up. We both had Hülkenberg in 17th, which I think is funny.
Yep.
He outperformed at 11th.
We both had Albon in 10th.
Hadjar way outperformed. What I thought.
Oh, absolutely, both of us.
And Behrman also pretty good.
Yeah.
What else? That's about it.
Yeah, we both said Albon was 10th, but he ended up in 8th. So he outperformed for sure. Alright. Total safety cars and virtual safety cars. What did you say, Ben?
I had 38 VSCs and safety cars.
So 35.
35. Yep.
I had 28.
Yeah.
and there were 28 safety cars and
That's
virtual safety
crazy.
Cars.
So walk me through your logic for that again. Do you remember what 2025 Nathan was thinking?
I think it was, hey, there's 24 races. I bet there's like one per race and then a couple of crazy races where we get some extras.
Okay.
So I will note it is possible that I missed a VSC or two because I had to scrub through all of the races.
You just look for the where the yellow flashed
when
they, up.
I looked for when the yellow flashed up, and some of the VSCs this year were very short.
I wonder if you could train like a machine learning program to just identify the yellow in one part of the screen.
Maybe I'm not smart enough to do that though. But So I'm going to say plus or minus one or two.
Sure.
VSCs.
Just take your one.
Also, yeah, I will. I should just stop talking. But, well, I will say, if a VSC turned into a full safety car, I counted that as a safety car. And if a safety car turned into a red flag, I did not count that.
Okay. Fair enough. Fastest laps.
Fastest laps, indeed.
Wow. I had Hamilton for this.
Yep, I had Norris. And it was a tie between Norris and Piastri with six fastest laps.
Wow, I am not feeling good about the rest of these predictions. That's insane. What was I thinking?
Total different race winners. Hey, you were closer than me on this one. You said...
I had five.
I had six, and it was four.
Okay.
Now, can you name the four? I'm sure you can.
Piastri, Norris, Verstappen, and... Sainz.
No.
No. Shit. It was... Was it Leclerc?
No.
No.
Ferrari did not win a race this year. Oh, boy.
Was it Antonelli?
No.
Was it Russell?
It was Russell.
Okay.
Russell won two races.
I should have gotten there faster.
Yeah.
I don't know why it took me that long. Russell had a great season.
He did, yes.
That's just embarrassing for me. Okay.
It's okay. Fastest pit stop team. What did you say, Ben?
I had McLaren.
I don't know why I didn't count.
Wait, yeah, what the heck?
My bad. You saw nothing. I also had McLaren, and it was McLaren. Me just casually rolling.
Why I ought.
Yes, so we both got it right. McLaren with a time of 1.91 seconds. No one broke 1.8.
No, those
no
are
one broke into the 1.8.
I don't know if we'll ever get back to that.
I mean, we had it last year.
Did we really?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Yeah, I think McLaren also had like a 1.84 or something like that. Total DNFs, what'd you say, Ben?
I had Alpine for this. I thought I was a shoo-in.
Not most DNFs, total DNFs. The one above it.
Oh, 60. Alpine with 60 DNFs.
Yes. I had 73, and it was 50, so much less DNFs than we were thinking.
I was kind of close.
Mm-hmm.
I was only 10 off.
Yep. I was 23 off, so you were much closer than me.
That's only 25%.
Team with the most DNFs, you, of course, said Alpine. I said RB, and it was Williams, because they just cannot keep their cars from not finishing.
Was it Williams last year?
I think it was Alpine last year.
It must have been
It was either Alpine...
Sargent and Albon crashed all the time last year.
Oh, it might have been... No, it was Williams, because, yeah, Sargent and Colapinto, like, single-handedly took them.
And then Albon joined in later on in the season.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it was Williams. I think it was Alpine the year before that. Driver with the most pole positions, what did you say?
I had Norris.
I had Leclerc, and it was Max Verstappen with 8.
Wow.
Yeah. Most consistent driver, what did you say?
I had Russell for this one.
I had Norris, and it was Norris with a 1.45 standard deviation, which is actually kind of crazy.
That is kind of crazy. Can I at least know how consistent Russell was?
You can, yes.
Thank you.
Let's see here.
Give me a little consolation prize.
How consistent was George Russell?
Jorg. POV, you didn't lock your headers in place.
My bad. 2.5. He would have finished, it looks like...
Fourth,
because of probably Colapinto or Doohan. Yeah, it was Colapinto. Doohan so was 1.71, but I don't count him because you need at least 9 races.
3, 4.
So no, I didn't count Doohan, though.
Oh, okay.
Because he only had, like, 5 races.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. So, fourth. I'll take it.
Fourth, yeah. I also didn't lock my headers because I have a bunch of things on this sheet that would have...
You didn't make a single sheet for every single different calculation you made?
This is not my work spreadsheet, so I don't keep it organized, no.
Fair enough.
I only use it once, once a year.
Yeah. Once we have enough data, it'd be cool to chart... consistency versus championships or race wins.
I mean, we're getting there. We're on our fourth season of this. We're probably getting up there.
And by we, I mean you should do that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay.
And I'll make fun of you when you make the most minuscule error. When you make the most minuscule error, I will point it out because I am an engineer and that's what I do.
I mean, I'm a data analyst, so I should also know how to do this.
Yeah, but the difference is I won't fix it. I'll just tell you.
You'll just tell me. That's right. All right. Least consistent driver, would you say?
I had Lawson.
I had Antonelli, and it was Antonelli at 4.98. Crazy times.
Crazy. He did have a great season despite being inconsistent.
I think he was inconsistent because he overperformed a lot.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, being a rookie. Yeah, I think he did very well this season. Most consistent team, what did you say, Ben?
I said Williams.
For some reason, said Ferrari.
That's insane.
I don't know why. It was McLaren at 1.74.
Okay.
Least consistent team, what'd you say?
I had Ferrari.
Much better guess. I said Red Bull, and wow. I actually was correct.
That's crazy.
I guess because Tsunoda was so bad.
Yeah, like four different drivers.
Well, yeah, there's that, but also like if you have a driver who's consistently finishing in the bottom five and one that's consistently winning, that's really
that
bad
would
for
make
consistency.
A pretty big standard deviation.
Yeah. Red Bull, least consistent team, and I think that was my reasoning there.
Okay, that makes sense. Nice call. Cleaned up.
I did very well in Formula One. Yes,
that might be the best predictions we've ever had.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good thing we're not doing hot sauce.
Dude, I copied this template from last season's finale, and I like got to the bottom, and I just saw hot sauce in bold letters. I started having flashbacks.
No.
Oh, I'm so glad we did not do that again this
year.
That
was miserable.
I can't believe that was over a year ago now.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday. The pain in my stomach has not gone away. All right. We had some grab bag predictions that were just awful.
They were funny, though.
I think they were funny, and I think they were mostly memes. So, Ben, why don't you give me your three grab bags that, just spoiler alert, neither of us got any of these three correct.
Yeah. I had MBS, our beloved leader of F1, getting restraining order from Hamilton, Toto Wolff getting fired from Mercedes, and Audi leaving Formula One before they began.
Any of these would have been hilarious.
It would have been hilarious.
Wolff was probably your closest one.
The closest one.
Because he did sell a bunch of stock in Mercedes this year.
Yep. And then
did not get fired.
There has been a lot of engine drama and a lot of teams being quite unhappy with the FIA.
Yes.
But nobody's left yet.
Yep.
So. You can't win them all.
If you said Christian Horner fired from Red Bull. Uh-oh.
Yeah. What an episode.
What an episode indeed. Everything has gone wrong.
Yep. Do we need to clap again?
I don't think we need to clap again.
Okay.
You're going to see our outtakes and our bloopers and the window's open now, which it wasn't before the episode. I don't know what you've seen and when you've seen it, but you've probably seen some technical difficulties, things on the screen, and we've kept the audio in because we need to get this episode out.
Yep.
and if we just keep starting over, things will go, it's just never going to happen. So.
It'll be better next season, for sure.
Next season will be better, almost assuredly.
Maybe I'll even shell out for an actual camera to record with, who knows.
That would be nice.
That
would be nice.
Give the old Xperia 1 Mark IV a break.
There we go.
That can be the B-roll camera.
Absolutely. Okay, what did we just talk about? We talked about our predictions, our grab bag.
Your grab bag predictions.
If you said Christian Horner left Red Bull, you would have been absolutely right.
I got the wrong
team principal. Alright, my three grab bag predictions. I had, there will be more Andretti drama before their 2026 entrance with Cadillac. I thought this was a shoe-in, for sure.
I feel like there technically was.
Was there?
I mean, it's not Andretti anymore.
I don't know, was that drama?
I feel like it could be drama.
I don't think it was, because I think this was known, that they weren't technically Andretti when we made this, but they are Andretti.
Okay.
I thought they were just gonna be, continued to try to be shoved out for whatever reason.
Fair enough.
I had at least two drivers getting banned for swearing. back when, at the beginning of the season, when they announced that they would be doing race bans for swearing on camera, and then they never did because that's stupid, and they realized that, I guess.
Yeah, they chilled out with that. There's still, like, a media restriction on swearing.
Which I think is a lot more understandable than...
in the heat of the moment, swearing on radio.
Yeah, exactly. And then I had Sainz will score at least two times Albon's points, and then Albon finished ahead of Sainz in the championship.
Yep,
so.
Not by much, but he did.
Yeah, so... very good job, Alex Albon. I underestimated you. I think both Williams drivers actually did pretty well this year.
Sainz had a lot of DNFs.
Sainz did, and a lot of them were mechanical, to be fair. So both of them had their moments. I think that Williams was still a little tricky to drive. I think overall, Williams finishing fifth in the championship.
That's the best they could have gotten, because they weren't going to touch Ferrari or Mercedes.
No. So I think both did very well, and they finished very close to each other in championship. I think this Sainz scoring twice up, well, actually I can't really say that, because I think we both predicted them to finish fifth, so regardless.
Yeah, anyways.
Anyways, maybe I didn't think they'd score as many points as they did. Moving on to our overtake of the year. We have an overtake of the week every episode, and we have compiled, or I have compiled, my favorite four, which I think are the best four of the year.
He's right. He's objectively right.
Objectively. Into our first option, I did this in order of when they happened. Our first option was Oscar Piastri on Lewis Hamilton on lap 57 of the Australian Grand Prix. I actually just remembered this one, which I think is one of the reasons it's a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a crazy pass around the outside on a wet track in Australia. Crazy race. Great stuff from Piastri. Second, we had Verstappen on Piastri into turn one in Imola. I also remembered this one. This was F1's overtake of the year. Their official pages, they chose this one.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of lukewarm.
It was really a turn one overtake.
It didn't really stand out to me.
I don't know. Yeah. It was good. I don't know. It didn't end up being our overtake of the season. So.
Yeah.
Third, we had Connor Daly on David Malukas and Jack Harvey into turn three on lap 110 at IMS during the Indianapolis 500. It was like a quadruple overtake. He went four wide into turn three. It was the third highest car and passed everybody else.
Made it stick. And then ran out of fuel and...
ended his race. Yeah.
Yeah. It would become a theme for Connor Daly, but he became very entertaining to watch on ovals.
Yes, because he would just take such a massive lead or be very aggressive and passing people all the time, and then he would run out of gas.
Yep.
And have to pit three laps before the end of the race. So that was our third one. And then fourth, Christian Rasmussen on Alex Palou on lap 229 for the Milwaukee Mile. Crazy overtake around the outside and a very flat oval, so not a lot of banking, not a lot of grip on the outside, especially Alex Palou wheel banging him the entire time.
Yep.
And somehow did not lose control of the car, made the pass around the outside to win the race.
That was absolutely white knuckle racing right there. Could watch him around the entire track, just fishtailing almost. He just couldn't.
The rear end of the car was just sliding, and he somehow made it work. So. Our vote order, my vote order for these was number four, number one, number three, and number two. So that is Rasmussen on Alex Palou, followed by Piastri on Hamilton, followed by Malukas or Daly on Malukas and Harvey, and then last of the four was Verstappen on Piastri. And then Ben had Oscar Piastri on Lewis Hamilton, that's his number one, followed by Rasmussen and Palou. Followed by Daly on Malukas and Harvey, and then Verstappen and Piastri. So, we have a tie for first place. Our co-overtakes of the season, I think it's fitting because one is from Formula One and one is from IndyCar.
Yeah.
We have, for Formula One, Oscar Piastri up on Lewis Hamilton on lap 57 of the Australian Grand Prix. And from IndyCar, we have Christian Rasmussen on Alex Palou on lap 229 in Milwaukee. And I think those are very deserving.
I agree.
Co-overtakes of the year. If we were voting for moment of the year, I guarantee you we'd have the same thing. It was absolutely Santino Ferrucci at Road America catching a beer and chugging it.
After running out of gas. After 100 yards after the finish line.
On the podium. Oh, boy.
What a legend.
That was so great.
That was such a cool race.
That was a great race, too.
It's like the pit strategy race ever.
Yes. Man, do I even want to change my... No.
No, you don't have to.
Yeah. So, race of the year. Actually, I forget it. They're not reading this.
It's fine. You guys can't see this.
Race of the year. I have Silverstone. What a Grand Prix. Wet conditions. Everyone flying off the track. Nico Hülkenberg on the podium. Oh, boy. Great stuff. Very entertaining. My thing that I just considered switching it to was Road America. Because, boy, was that a good race.
An extremely hot race. Crazy fuel strategies.
Yeah. The fuel strategies were nuts. But, yeah, so both were very good. What did you have, Ben?
I had Indy 500 this year.
It was very good.
It was pretty good. I really liked Connor Daly going insane.
Yes.
Some big shakeups. Newgarden.
Newgarden from the back to the front to DNFing. Yep.
Really exemplifies his entire season. Penske's entire season, really.
Yep.
The NASCAR boy failing to make it much further than lap one.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson, that's his name.
And then going to the Coke 600 and DNFing from that.
Yep. But yeah, it was just awesome overtakes. I always love watching it. You want to learn high side racing versus low side racing, and when people pass on ovals, IndyCar is a great macro stage to watch and kind of see it on like the biggest racetrack, which makes it much easier to see. So then when you go to smaller tracks like Iowa or Texas or Milwaukee Mile, yep, you can kind of take what you saw in Indy 500 and distill that down into even crazier moments,
yeah,
for passing there.
For sure. And if you have a short track around you, whether it's asphalt or dirt, highly recommend. It's very fun. You can probably get in for $15-$20 at most. If you're somewhere in the Midwest, it's probably like $5. I would be surprised if you can get your kids in for free if they're under a certain age. Great way to spend the evening. It's a fun thing to do. You get dirt in your eyes and you eat dirty hot dogs and
drink warm beer and
drink warm beer that's also full of dirt.
Yeah. What could be more American?
Yeah, it's extremely American and way more fun than we're making it sound right now.
It's about the experience. It's type 2 fun.
It really is. It's hot. It's Friday or Saturday night in the summer. You got big block V8 engines that have no sort of sound deadening at all.
Mm-hmm.
I would say they're straight piped, but there's
that would be
no
generous.
Pipe. Yeah, there's no pipe. It's just engine wrapped in a roll cage, essentially.
Yeah.
And boy, if you get a place for those late models, that's good stuff. All right. That concludes that. Ben, last words of wisdom for this season, first words of wisdom for this year.
Yes.
What do you got?
I have a lot of experience with this recently. Robot vacuums are fickle creatures.
Yeah.
But I've found it's actually a great use of a little extra money, honestly, these days to get an extended warranty or a warranty at all with your electronic devices, especially phones, robot vacuums, appliances, not as much. Appliances are actually fairly well made these days, but
yeah,
like commodity electronics, it's so worth getting a warranty. I pay for a Best Buy membership, not sponsored, obviously.
Oh man, that'd be cool.
That'd be neat. And I've more than made my money back over the years from it, because every year I have something that stops working because electronics these days are garbage and are made to be disposed of. So I've gone through a robot vacuum. I've gone through a espresso maker. I've gone through...
Already? Oh, that's right.
This espresso maker, yeah, but the last one.
Uh-huh.
And I've more than made my money back with it. It's super worth it because if it stops working, then you have, you know, a $500, $700, even a $300 expense to have to replace and get nothing back out of it. Really hurts. I found that paying a little extra for a warranty that lasts at least 1 or 2 years is super worth it.
Yeah. Good stuff. Electronics are definitely made to be disposed of quickly. This is a laptop I got from work that I've had for now a year and a half. It's a year and a half old. I have been using this for just over 50 minutes, and I'm already at like 65% battery.
Yeah, they're just going to make them like they used to. I have a 2019 HP Spectre 13 that has followed me throughout all of college. I got it in 2019, and it still almost runs like it's brand new. It's great.
That's nice.
This thing has seen so much exhaust fumes from tuning race cars and getting tossed in around in shops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's an exception to the rule, I'd say.
Nice. Yeah, I am hoping that now that I have a more, let's say, resource-intensive job, computer-wise, that they might be
able to... Please give me not a Dell.
Yes, give me something with 32 gigabytes of RAM.
Although, the XPS, the Dell XPS is back, and I've heard that's... Good again. Nice. Yep.
I was looking at an HP, I think.
HP does make some good laptops.
Yeah. Regardless, Ben, you have one final Craigslist pick of the week, and it is a special one. The ultimate I cannot one. Wait.
It's very cool. We don't have videos, but I'm sure we'll have plenty of videos coming next season.
Yeah. We'll probably have standalone videos on this next season.
If I get my stuff together, we will. Yeah. But I've made a purchase. I've purchased
has actually made a Craigslist pick of the week.
And my Craigslist pick of the week is a 1981 Chevrolet Corvette in silver. Somebody painted a black stripe on the bottom to make it look like an anniversary. It's neither here nor there.
I think it looks great.
It looks gangbusters. I bought it for $4,300 cash.
So good.
It runs, drives, and crucially, it stops. It starts first try. Nathan experienced it. It's been sitting since I pulled it off the trailer last night. It got down to freezing overnight, and I went out to show Nathan. It started up first crank.
Immediately. So good.
The brake lights work, right?
Yep.
The clutch feels great. The transmission shifts pretty well. It's a 4-speed. Okay, so I guess we should start with the specs. Yes. There's not that many options for a 1981 Corvette. They whittled it down from, I think, 3 engine options to just 1 engine option for 81. A lot of that comes down to emissions. So this is the 350 or the 5.7, depending on what you prefer to call them when they get to this age. V8, just an LS small block,
mm-hmm.
bread and butter. This one, for 1 year in 1981, they added quadrajet carburation with the triple C, the CCC, computer control carburation. It essentially uses sensors similar to what fuel injection would use, but for a carburetor, and that allowed it to pass emissions so they could sell it in all 50 states. Unfortunately, that meant that it made 190 horsepower when new.
Yep, that is the problem with cars from the 70s and 80s.
Absolute gobs of torque.
I bet.
But yeah, not a whole lot of horsepower when new.
Yeah.
But actually fairly reliable in terms of old electronic systems. All Corvettes of this year and past years came standard with Chevrolet's Positraction LSD, independent four-wheel suspension. The suspension in the back is so weird. It actually uses trailing arms, kind of like a torsion beam, but it's independent, so it uses a leaf spring in the middle centered on the just behind the differential to give you your spring, along with the dampers to keep you from pogoing. It's a BorgWarner T10 short ratio 4-speed gearbox. It's got my particular one has the glass target tops.
So good.
Which are very cool. It's got period correct, but not stock, centerline aluminum monoblock wheels. And the headlights don't work, but they never work on these cars. It's just vacuum systems that go bad. The turn signal stock has fallen off.
Yep.
I don't know where it's gone, but I need a new one.
Somewhere.
It's somewhere. And the interior is not great, but honestly, it's also not bad.
Yeah, it could be much worse.
It could be much worse. Yeah. Most of the gauges work, which is incredible. Yeah. The fuel gauge doesn't work. It has an electronic fuel pump on the frame, as a lot of these cars do when they're retrofitted, instead of the standard mechanical pump. And it has factory air conditioning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if it works because it's winter.
It's winter.
I won't find out
for a while.
A few months now. But yeah, I bought it for $4,300, running, driving, stopping, starting condition. I drove it onto the trailer and drove it off the trailer.
It's pretty good.
is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
And it sounds excellent.
It does sound excellent. However, when are you putting an LS3 in it?
When I come upon $5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lift.
Yeah, right. That's the problem.
Yeah. No, my plan for this is I probably want to get the interior to mostly stock.
Yeah.
Try to get everything just to, like, stock working condition, turn signals, headlights, carpeting, controls, all that. I'll probably put one of those. They make single DIN CarPlay Android Auto
there
units.
You go.
And yeah. I'll probably put that in there. Redo some of the plastics and stuff like that. Just get it to, like, a nice looking stock condition.
Yeah.
And from there, I will probably race car it.
Yeah, so first thing is going to be suspension, right?
No, suspension is actually the most expensive part. And
is it really?
From what I've read, you don't get that much benefit from switching the coilovers in the back. Obviously, at some point, I'll have to refresh it because stuff just gets old. I'll have to do new bushings and all that. But
yeah.
At least for now, to start off, I don't want it to be a huge money pit yet. So
yeah,
it's actually, I'll give it a shot just with maybe I'll upgrade the rear brakes to disc brakes first.
There you go. Are the drums?
I think there are drums in the back. Yeah, but yeah. I'll do that and then, yeah, just start racing it and then upgrade from there to see what I need.
Good stuff.
I won't do any power mods right off the bat. I'll probably do brakes, suspension, tires first.
I assume
in that interior.
These cars did not have power steering yet.
I think this one might have. I can't remember. Hold on.
I would have been right around the time when it became a thing.
I haven't driven it enough to really notice.
Man, but I mean, if you didn't notice, it probably does have power steering.
Or I'm just really strong.
Or you're just so strong.
Standard? Yes.
It does have power steering?
Power steering.
Wow.
Yeah, and it used, yeah, a fiberglass monolith spring in the back.
Well, that will make racing it much more doable. I'm just thinking American heavy steel car.
It weighs 3,200 pounds.
I mean,
it's not terrible.
It's not terribly heavy.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking car from that era. Racing it, if it didn't have power steering, might be a challenge.
Yeah. Oh, and it needs a new steering wheel because something appears to have eaten some of this one.
Yeah.
I don't know what species it was, but it chewed through this part of the steering wheel.
Yeah, so Recaro Racing seat bolted into the frame.
That's way too expensive. Summit Racing seats bolted in.
Summit.
$200 a seat, my friend.
My Sparco's not terribly expensive, but
yeah,
Summit's definitely cheaper.
So this will be a lesson in cost-effective restoration and racing prep.
Yeah.
And it'll just evolve as we go along. I want to keep this for a long time and just continue like right.
You absolutely should. So.
Yeah.
Well, keep a lookout for that. I'm sure Ben will be posting videos or sending me videos to post about this thing.
Yeah.
And we will absolutely
hopefully we
do
have
so.
Content coming out for it.
We will have for content for sure.
Hopefully edited by me.
Hopefully.
Yeah. I've got this fancy 9070, so I better use it for
you
something.
Better use it for something.
Yeah.
Next season, we're going to have some surprises. We'll hopefully be in a new location.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
like
same
right over
there. Oh, right over there. Same-ish location, but different room. And maybe some new hosts or guests.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. But you might be seeing more than just our faces, which will be good. And
yeah.
I think it'll be entertaining.
I think it'll at least be entertaining no matter what.
But this is probably the last season of Rev Hang that will be anything like this. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. This racing podcast that has evolved and devolved into many different things. I do like the direction we're going.
Yeah, I mean, you have to start out with a rigid thing in order to get to...
So what?
What you actually really enjoy. Because sometimes you don't really know what you enjoy talking about until you actually...
Yeah.
Start talking about it.
I do enjoy racing. I think that will always be a part of this podcast, but I think we're gonna kind of branch off and expand our topics. I think it will still always be about cars.
Might have a little bit different schedule too if we're not, you know, solely centered around racing weekends. Maybe we'll do, you know, an episode every week and then we'll take a couple week break while we're working on another project or something like that. But
yeah. We'll see.
It'll still be semi-regular.
We will see. There's a lot of things that we can do from here. We might actually start playing games together. That would be. We keep saying we're gonna do that.
I know. Maybe we'll make a video about us building me a racing rig for my steering wheel.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun. So, yeah. Thank you again for listening and watching. If you did this episode and this season of Ref Hang, we'll be back for season 5. Almost half a decade we've been doing this.
Don't say that.
I know, it hurts me too.
Okay.
But think about how far we've come, Ben.
We have come really far.
Season 1 was audio only.
Audio only, us sitting at separate computers
over Discord. Season 2 was the same thing.
Yeah.
We had a little bit more structure in season 2.
Yeah.
And then season 3 we had video of us in separate places.
Mm-hmm.
That was painstakingly edited by hand back and forth.
That was a lot of work for you.
That was the worst. In season 4, we've been able to get a system down to that cuts my editing almost into a quarter of what it used to be. So,
yeah,
love that. Love being in the same room as Ben. It's very fun.
Really helps. It helps us talk to each other. It's really nice to be able to not have to worry about interrupting each other.
Yeah, well, we still do, but it's not nearly as bad as
it's funnier this way.
It is funnier this way, yeah. But I'm sure there'll be even more interrupting next season.
Yep.
If you can't tell who our surprise guests are yet, well, you'll see.
Who knows?
So, we will see you in probably a little over a month's time. After all the launches, probably after winter testing,
mm-hmm.
and before the Australian Grand Prix in early March. Until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben. Who owns a Corvette?
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.